Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW Loud and Local here on Sunday nights, and I'm really super stoked to have Sandrider in studio. They are celebrating the release of their third full-length LP on Good to Die Records this coming Friday, July 20th. Sandrider in studio. We got John, Nat, and Jesse. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Hell yeah. It's awesome to have you guys. It's the first time I've had you guys here on Loud and Local. You were here with Jolene in the past. Was that for the release of your last record?
Yeah. Which the Kinski split maybe was the last time we were here.
Wasn't it Godhead?
Godhead,
was it
maybe?
Godhead? I don't know.
This is our third time here. I don't remember what the context was previously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed one of those times.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember playing with a puppet. Some sort of mannequin puppet
Pretty
thing.
Sure I was there for that one.
Yeah.
It had a lot of hair.
Well, welcome back into the studio. The new album, Armada. How long has this been a work in progress? It's kind of highly anticipated, I'd say, around these parts.
It's an epic tome.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been finished for a while. We recorded it like a year and a half ago or so. I've been working on it for a while up to that point, and then life tends to happen in this band. We have kids, and then we have more kids, and then Jesse gets dogs, and yeah.
Well, you're just welcoming them into the Sandrider party, right?
Yeah, I think both of our kids were at Sandrider shows in the womb.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the Godhead release show.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Do you think they're going to show up to the Armada show, or are they too cool at this point?
My oldest will come to the Easy Street show next Saturday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Let's mention that, too. You guys have a show at Easy Street?
It's free. It starts at 7.
Nice.
West Seattle.
Right on.
All ages, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All ages.
All right. Right on. Well, we're going to definitely talk about the record release show at the Crocodile in just a few, but you, again, worked with Matt Bayless. On this album, is this? It seems like a pretty rad relationship you guys have had. Now that he's worked, this is like the third album that he's worked on.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, he gets what we're going for, and you know,
yeah,
he works efficiently, quickly. It works out well.
I feel really lucky that we have a guy like Matt in town.
Yeah,
who knows rock as well as he does, and is a very talented engineer, and he just gets such good sounds. So right. I just feel really lucky that he's like in the neighborhood, and we can go here without having to uproot ourselves and go out of town and record somewhere.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right on. Now, this is the third record. Was there any kind of different method you went into this one, or kind of keeping it the same? And also, did you feel any pressure knowing that you kind of highly anticipated album, third album, you know? Did you feel like any kind of pressure there, or?
No, not really. This band has always been really, really chill.
Nice.
We just happen to be lucky that people like it.
Yeah.
but yeah, this being in this band has always just been about playing music just for the fun of playing music together.
Fun first.
Yeah, and not letting too much of a work ethic sort of like pull the fun out of the band. Yeah, we really just like to let life happen. And you know, if one of us has a kid and we need to take a break for a year, that's totally fine. If we need to miss a practice for a couple weeks in a row, that's totally fine. It's no big deal. Super chill. So
yeah. I think it's kind of a balance. We still like want to do our best, you know, when we're, but it's also balance. You know, you can't do that.
I actually think it's better
to the exclusion of life.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's better when you're doing it just for fun. And, you know, when it's like, it's no big deal that we can't make a couple practices in a row, but like, it hurts a little bit on the inside. I really want to get back in there and play because it's so fun because we're just doing it just for the pure joy of making music together.
Yeah.
It's an amazing release. Like, yeah. I've had so many bad days turned around by a good band practice, getting to scream into a mic.
Yeah.
Like, that's therapy.
That's cool.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to mention any bands or anything, but, you know, sometimes I'll talk to a band on Metal Shop, mostly Metal Shop, you know, a lot more organic bands locally. But, you know, I'll talk to a band on Metal Shop, and sometimes they're not even really that great of friends, or it seems like they're really kind of on a schedule, like album cycles is kind of the idea. Like, they got a tour and then mm-hmm. put out an album and that, and it's cool to hear you guys kind of just be relaxed with it and, you know, kind of just do it at when it works for you.
Yeah. The last band I had with Nat, we worked really hard.
Akimbo.
It felt like work, yeah. Akimbo felt like work.
Yeah.
Because we tried to do a record every year. We tried to tour at least a couple times a year.
Yeah.
And it was super fun, and I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. But
I don't want to do that right now.
We got really tired.
Was that a conversation you guys had before starting this band? Like, hey, we want to keep making music together, but let's chill.
Towards the end of Akimbo, we weren't able to tour because of work, and it was kind of just we were becoming more homebodies, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was just the natural progression. This band,
yeah,
is the natural.
Yeah, and I feel like Sandrider's had a couple conversations, like just band chill out conversations, where we like yeah, right, like no one's taking this too seriously, right? Like, we're all just buddies having fun,
yeah,
in town.
We've had some offers though that were pretty enticing.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of a bummer to not be able to go on those tours, and
we said no to some pretty awesome tours. Which is sad.
Well, Nat and John, you guys are from Akimbo, and Jesse, you were in a band called the Ruby Dough.
I was.
Did you guys all play together?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We play shows together all the time.
Yeah.
That's how we met, really, and then I started tattooing John, and just kind of one thing led to another. It was just, you know, just the right, right place, right time.
Me and Nat were starting Sandrider. We needed a bass player. Jesse was shoving needles in my skin.
Yeah. Wasn't it Ben originally, it was Ben gonna do it, and then Ben didn't have time because he was gonna do Helmsley.
The first person we asked was Ben Verlin, and he was just starting Helmsley at that time, and that was obviously exciting for him.
Yeah.
So he couldn't do it. And then Jesse happened to be shoving needles in my skin. It's like,
oh,
hey,
there you go.
I like some bass in your ear.
That's awesome.
Both
all right.
Of them hurt.
Well, we have Sandrider in studio. We're going to get into a couple songs here from the record. Again, it's Armada, their new record on Good to Die Records. It's available this coming Friday, and you should definitely order yourself a copy. I have a nice record over there they brought me, and I'm stoked to throw that on my turntable as soon as I get back home. These guys are heavy riffs, heavy grooves. And really good stuff. You're going to hear a couple of these songs. Industry and Creep are the first ones I'm going to go into. Is there anything you guys want to say about these tracks before we jam them?
Turn it up.
Yeah.
Right on. It's Sandrider on Loud and Local. We'll be right back. Loud and Local. You're listening to Sandrider in Studio. That was two songs off their brand new album, Armada. It is coming out this Friday on Good to Die Records. Incredible album. I want to play kind of a listening party here, some select tracks from it. And again, they're playing Saturday, I believe, at Easy Street Records.
That's a Friday, I think.
Friday?
Friday at Easy Street on the 20th, yeah, and then Saturday the 28th at the Croc.
That's awesome. So, again, Saturday the 28th at the Crocodile is going to be with Pink Parts and Gloss, and really kind of an iconic venue for you guys to be playing the Crocodile for the record release. It's a very Seattle kind of feel to that one. That's very cool.
Yeah, it is. Love the Crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you guys, you know, now that I mentioned it, going to the Crocodile, going to, you know, shows around the Northwest, all you guys kind of grew up in the Northwest music scene.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, like, let's go around the room, like, remember your first local, you know, punk, hardcore, metal, and or just rock show that you ever went to?
Well, the first shows I went to were actually in Eastern Washington. I went to high school in Wenatchee.
Okay.
There really wasn't a ton of stuff going on. It was mostly like what we made happen.
Nice.
Which basically involved us tricking Grange Halls into letting us have shows.
Yes.
Tell them we were like a Christian band, all kinds of stuff. And usually about halfway through the show, you know, you'd get the call and it would be a bust. And you just hope that every band could play.
Yep.
So we do that, you know, and there's sort of a rotation. You do that a couple of years. You go mm-hmm. back to the ones that maybe they've forgotten about you that you originally hit, you know, 2 years ago.
Bring your own PA.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or, you know, you're singing through your guitar amp. You
okay.
know, that sort of stuff. Yeah, it was a high fidelity.
Nice.
But, yeah, it was mostly just, like, very organic kind of, you know, just bored kids just and sort of trying to emulate, like, stuff that was happening in Seattle at the time but not really being able to go to shows because of just the, you know, logistics.
And so how were you hearing about the stuff then?
There was a tape store in Wenatchee. This guy, Bob Gottfried, I don't know, bless his heart. I don't know what his deal was. He would just sit in the back. He was super stoic, quiet dude. He would chain smoke. And he had this great punk tape section. And I would just buy stuff. Like, it was on SST.
Yeah.
You know, I was super into, like, No Means No and the Minutemen.
Yeah.
I'd seen, like, Dinosaur Jr. and those bands and like skate videos and just sort of that's kind of was my introduction into SST and so like I would just start trying SST stuff or like stuff that was on AMRAP or you know just he had all this
some
really
pretty
cool,
deep cuts for really, someone
yeah,
so young
really cool stuff there and he never played any of that stuff in the store. I don't know why he even knew about any of it, but he offered it to this small town. It was kind of like this like oasis, you know? So at any rate, that's how that was sort of my introduction to
said
that
his
stuff.
Name was Bob.
Bob.
Shout out to Bob.
Yeah.
Right on.
I doubt he's around. I mean, he was pretty long in the tooth when I was in high school.
Sure.
So.
Well, it's those tapes, man.
I still have all
opened
my
you
tapes
up to a new world.
School.
Oh, that's cool.
I grew up on the east side, so I grew up in Bellevue, and there used to be an all-ages club out there called Ground Zero.
Oh, that was great. There was that painting of John Pettibone on the wall with the undertow straight edge jacket.
Yeah, like feeding a guy some food or something.
Yeah.
So that was like, it's kind of in my stomping ground and I kind of heard about it and I was, you know, like 12 or 13 or something, like just getting into underground music. And I heard about this place that would do shows for kids and I like convinced my parents to let me go one night and I went there. I didn't know what the show was. I just walked in and it was some like acoustic open mic coffee night and it was just the dumbest thing in the world and I was so bummed. I was like this little kid. I wanted to see a punk show so bad.
You just wanted to get in there
and
mosh,
I heard about
huh?
this place and I was like, oh my God, this place. Like I could walk to this place.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited. And I went there and it was just so stupid.
You went on the wrong night.
Yeah, I did. I went on, it was like a Wednesday night or something like that.
The most unpunk rock.
Yeah. But I had a friend who was a little bit older than me, a little bit more tapped into local punk bands and stuff.
Yeah.
And he told me, he gave me the hot tip. There's this band, it's called I Forget. They're a punk band. You'll like them. And I think like, actually Marco Collins, who works on the radio, used to be in that band when he, or maybe it's not Marco Collins. One of the radio DJs that's working right now.
Dick Rossetti?
Maybe.
It
I don't know.
Marco.
Was it Marco?
No.
It's,
shout out to Marco
Adam Green.
Collins. Though.
Adam Green. Is Adam
Green. Ah, the
Adam
Reverend
Green's
Adam
band.
Green.
Yep. It was his old band. I heard a tip about them and I kept an eye out and I think I saw a flyer for their show at Ground Zero at like Cellophane Square in Bellevue Square.
Yeah.
Cellophane Square.
Yeah.
When it was still in the mall.
Uh-huh. And so that was my first punk show. And I made it to that one. It was $5 to get in, all ages. And they effing delivered.
Nice.
It was good.
Dude.
It was a good first punk show. It was awesome. I couldn't be happier.
There you go. How about you, Nat?
First punk show, I also grew up on the east side. My first show was the Fastbacks opening up for Gas Huffer at the old Firehouse.
That's a great show. Mm-hmm.
It was great. John and I ended up working at Ground Zero in different capacities after that. And then I worked at the old Firehouse as well. It was a good time back then. Because Ground Zero did shows on Friday nights and the old Firehouse did shows on Saturdays. So we we didn't know who was playing. We would just pay our $5 and go see whatever, you know.
This one might be a little bit more, you know, embarrassing, but I want you guys to be honest. Not counting, you know, albums that were hand-me-downs or things that you got turned on to from friends giving them to you. What is the first album, be it a CD, tape, vinyl, what is the first album that you actually purchased with your own money?
I don't want to answer this.
But you gotta.
I'll answer this one.
All right.
The first, it was a record. I remember going into a record store. I had saved up my allowance.
Yeah.
And my dad said, you go pick out a record. And I walked over and picked up a Thelonious Monk record.
Wow. Okay.
Because I had no idea who Thelonious Monk was. I know it's not. I just thought it was really cool. I love the cover. It was like he was in an underground bunker. It was like World War II. And it was like him playing piano with three really hot women that were just hanging out with him, like, and there's all these wine bottles.
That's a good vibe.
And it looked, for some reason, it like really was like working for me. And I thought, I want this, Dad. And so, you know, I made
that's your aesthetic. That's got to be what you go for,
you know,
these days.
And since then, you know, I've just taken that and run with it, you know. So,
and what did you think? What did you think when you brought it home?
Oh, I'm sure it like I probably put it on and was totally lost interest, you know. But yeah. I looked at that cover a lot.
Yeah,
you win. You won the question. We lost. The first cassette I bought with my own money was an album called Ice Cold by an artist called Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
I didn't see that coming.
No. I'm super ashamed of it. I was stoked when I got it.
Can you bust any of his rhymes out?
No, not really. I mean, there's like, you know, All Right, Stop, Collaborate, and Listen.
Ice is back with a brand new edition. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a monsoon.
Daily and nightly? Will it ever stop?
I don't know. Nice. Right on. And Nat, how about you, man?
I'm trying to remember. The first one I bought, I believe it was a single by EMF. It was unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Single? Cassette
like
single?
Cassette single, yeah.
Yes.
And I forget what was on the side B. But
All right, we're going to play a couple more songs off the new Sandrider album. It's called Armada. It's coming out July 20th. Catch them at Easy Street Records on July 20th, the day of their release. And then the 28th at The Crocodile. So let's play a couple more. This is Banger and Lineage. Anything you guys want to say about these two?
They're really, really good. Really good songs.
Incredible. We'll be right back.
Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
That was Banger and Lineage, two songs off the new Sandrider album, Armada. It is their third LP on Good to Die Records, coming out this coming Friday. Pick it up at any local record stores. You can pick it up at Easy Street Records, I would suggest, and you could see them live in the flesh performing at West Seattle Easy Street Records. The following Saturday at Crocodile with Pink Parts and Gloss, they're going to have copies of the record. So I got to ask this question. Now, it's something that, it was kind of like out of left field for me because I was watching it and I remember it happening and it was like, is this really happening? I was watching the Seattle Seahawks, and this was a couple years ago, I think, and they played a Sandrider song on Monday Night Football. What was your reaction when you heard your band on Monday Night Football? And did you actually hear it?
I did not hear it. I'm not a sports fan.
Yeah.
But my phone started blowing up, so I knew it was something was happening. It was like, oh, I just saw you on Monday Night Football. Bing, bing,
wait,
bing,
they saw you? Was there a picture of you guys?
Yeah, there was video, footage of us playing.
It was actually the Godhead Record release show.
They came and filmed the release show, so it was kind of a live thing.
We knew it.
I forgot about that part.
That's why it was sort of perfect timing because this thing was happening right when they were there scouting it, and we totally got lucky. It was a perfect storm.
It was just like 2 or 3 days before the show when we got the email, right? I believe it was pretty quick.
Yep.
And they filmed us for 15 seconds, maybe. And
yeah, it was super.
That
fast.
Was it.
I think they filmed a couple songs. The camera crew was like not affiliated with ESPN. I think they were just some local guys that got hired, and they were pretty clueless. they're just like, ah, we're just here to fill the
on
the
assignment.
Are we going to get hurt if we stand up front?
I remember them. I remember hanging out with them and like talking to them a little bit, and I remember seeing them filming us while we were playing, and then the game happened. I watched the game, and it was like, I kept waiting, and like halftime, it wasn't even during halftime. It was like towards the end of the third quarter, I think, when it aired. But I kind of just assumed that it had gotten cut.
Like
I figured, like, oh, halftime is probably the time where they would like do something like this, right?
Naturally, they're going to put it on halftime.
Naturally,
I was thinking more halftime filler. I just assumed it wasn't going to happen, and then all of a sudden it was like 15 seconds, and then like there we were on TV, and all of our phones blew up, and it was just, and I would like, I got text messages from like people I hadn't talked to for like 10 years, and like, oh, I just saw
you had legitimately made it in their minds then.
Yeah, I know.
All of these things, touring, huge shows overseas, anything like that, it doesn't matter. When you're on Monday Night Football with the Seahawks,
why tour when you
there
just
you
be
go.
On Monday Night Football?
That's awesome. I don't know. I mean, where can you go from there? I mean, you're on Monday Night Football with the Seahawks. This is what I was going to say, though.
This is it.
Because they've just started sending us money.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, that royalty check is pretty sweet.
That 15-second royalty check. But you know what? I am going to say shout out to them for actually choosing a rock band, because they could have easily done something like Macklemore or Sir Mix-a-Lot, and they could have so easily gone in that way. But they chose a sonically heavy band to represent Seattle, which
they
is
had it broken
pretty
down.
Badass.
Like, they had a chart on the left of the screen. It was like, and it just said grunge band. It was like guitar, bass, drums, and they had the decibel level that each instrument was at. But
I felt so objectified.
Grunge, man. They didn't say our name, which is cool.
Did you feel like, man, I got to start wearing more flannel?
Yeah, like I felt so out of place. I'm like, it's like I'm a cover. I'm covering myself. That's
That's awesome. So again, the album is coming out this Friday on Good to Die Records. It's called Armada. And what was the title? What was the title about Armada?
Well, I mean, yeah, let's get into it.
sure.
I really like some of my favorite records are records that the title isn't important, and it's all about the artwork. I was really inspired by a couple records. There's a couple Nazareth records that have just incredible sci-fi art, and Molly Hatchet used to use a bunch of Frazetta art.
Yeah.
These are like records that are just sort of like picked up over the years because the art was so good. And when Sandrider started, there was like a thing I wanted to do. I wanted Sandrider Records to like not have a title, not even have the band's name on the cover. I just wanted it to be like amazing, beautiful, like painted art. And we happened to be in a band with Jesse,
yeah.
who's an incredible artist.
And Nat, you're an artist
and, yeah,
as well, too.
But Jesse's the painter.
Okay, yeah. fair enough.
But like, if Jesse wasn't a painter, like I would have thrown down real personal money to hire artists to do like pretty like amazing bombastic sci-fi artwork for the album covers. And because we do need to somewhat market it a little bit.
You got to put the name on
there
somewhere.
Yeah, so we do title the albums, and titling the albums is mostly so that someone who wants to buy a record can understand which record they're buying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, assuming we release like, you know, 3, 4, or 5 records, and then at some point someone's like, oh yeah, get the second record. I'm like, which one's the second record? They're all called Sandrider. I don't
they're
know.
All
like,
orange.
Yeah.
They're all burnt orange.
So do the Weezer thing, you know, just different colors.
Yeah. So we did have to title the records. But like the original inspiration there was like, I just love these classic rock records that have these beautiful science fiction paintings as their album art. And like when I think of the record, I don't think of the band and I don't think of the songs. I just think of this amazing picture.
Nice.
And that's sort of the inspiration behind.
We didn't do it with the first one, but Godhead in this one, we kind of circumvented the whole having that name on the cover by having it just be a sticker on top of the cellophane.
Yeah.
So, once you open the record, it's just art.
It doesn't tarnish the art.
Yeah, but they are titled, and we just sort of pick a track off the record that sounds like a good title track, just for name alone. There's no special reason. Like the song Armada, we don't think it's better or worse than any of the other songs on the record.
It just sounds really good, cool.
Right?
Just something cool.
Armada.
I think like
if the
music's good too, like a lot of times that actually imparts so much meaning to things because like I'll say it. The Melvins is a terrible band name. But they made it cool because they're good.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like you can do it's almost like that's the function of art is to take things that normally wouldn't work and rearrange them in a way so that they do all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's like a challenge to make art despite these rules, these constraints. So at any rate.
Yeah. I also love the idea of like years from now when we're done playing, like if our records are just in like a, you know, used record bin somewhere in some crappy store, right? Like think about myself as like in my early to mid 20s, like getting into classic, like getting out of punk and then into classic rock, and like oh my god, there's all these records I don't know about, and I can just go to a record store and just find them.
Yep.
And then like seeing a record and just being struck by the artwork, and
not even knowing what it's
I don't know what it is, but this like. This album cover speaks to me, and I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to listen to it, and I hope I like it. And like that's how I got into Molly Hatchet, because they had Frazetta art.
He sold so many terrible books with his art. Like, have you ever read any of the Death Dealer books? I mean, they're terrible books, but all the covers are so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sandrider, you know, you guys are doing it again, man. The record is coming out on Friday. You're going to be playing a couple badass shows. Again, one in Easy Street. It's an all-ages show on the 20th, the day of the release. And I'm assuming you're going to have the record there for people to purchase?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's awesome.
That's the day it comes out, so that'll be the first day it's available.
That's awesome. And then again, the 28th for the 21 and over crowd at the Crocodile. If you want to go see them with Pink Parts and Gloss, definitely suggest you do that. Or you could go to both. You guys have anyone you want to thank or anything you guys want to say before we kind of wrap this up and play some more songs?
I'm going to thank Nick for sure.
Yes.
Good to die. I mean, I think I was going to say earlier that a lot of the reason that we're able to function, I think, so stress-free as a band is that we have somebody that kind of believes in what we're doing enough to allow us the room to do that. And not every label would necessarily be cool with that. And
it's really cool.
Most wouldn't, I should say. So that's just like been amazing, you know? So I mean, like, I can't give him enough props because it's like, it really is sort of the foundation for being able to do this. So it's super awesome.
Yeah. There's I don't really know all their names. I know some of their names, but there's a handful of people where every time we play a show, I recognize their faces.
That's awesome.
They're like always there. So
the Sandrider crew.
Yeah. Those people know who they are.
Matt.
I don't know you.
Matt
I don't.
Douglas has been like at every show.
Yeah.
I've played
yeah,
Ruby, like, any band I've played in, he's been in like at every single show for the last decade.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
We know. Like, yeah, we know his name, but like Adam Bass has been at every show.
Oh yeah, super fan.
He's a great dude. And yeah, there's a bunch of other people that, you know, I don't know your name. I've never met you, but I see you. At all the shows, and that just means a lot to us.
We see
really
you.
That.
We see you.
Well, it's like it's sort of over the years become it's like an organism. It's like just sort of, you know, this weird thing that kind of comes together, and you may not necessarily talk to these people, but or all of them, but it's, you know, it happens again and again. It's weird.
They're there to experience it every time.
Yeah. That's always awesome. I'm always stoked when anybody shows up. So that's,
yep.
You know.
Yeah. It would just be a kind of a practice if nobody else did. You know?
We've played shows like that.
Yeah. You know, and I'm okay with that, too. So that's, you know, that's just gravy.
Yeah.
You know, if there's somebody there to witness it. But.
The bartender. Yeah.
How about you, Nat? Anyone you want to thank or anything you want to say?
Nick and yeah, the same. Yeah, those folks.
Right on.
I should probably thank my wife.
Yeah.
For,
and the kids.
You.
Hanging in there and, like taking care of the kids while Dad goes out and has fun. On, you know, band practice nights and show nights.
So
I appreciate this.
Is this a dad rock band now?
Definitely.
Mostly.
2/3 dad rock.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Again, Sand Rider playing this Friday at Easy Street Records and Saturday the 28th at the Crocodile. Go see them and hear these new songs off their record. It's coming out this Friday on Good to Die Armada. We're going to play a couple more, the title track Armada, and then Triple A Ape. So a couple songs here by Sand Rider. Thanks again, guys, for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's let it riff. It's Sand Rider on Loud and Local.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.